Well, it is Tuesday, August the 8th, and it's time now for Campus Connection. I have Superintendent Erica Klutpainter joining me here in the studio, along with the school board president, Sarah Holmgreen. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, everybody looks so tan and happy.
It's summertime.
It's still summertime, but I am going to say at this moment, school's coming end of the month, as you know better than most, probably. August 28th is the start of school, right?
That's right. We're excited. We're ready.
August 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming.
I think all the kids are secretly hoping that it'll... Now that we finally got summer.
Yeah, especially when the sun comes out. It's like, really? But, yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more rain, but...
Yeah. We've had a nice little go of it here.
It's been great.
Anyway, that's... Yeah. So tonight's a regular meeting for the board. That's at 7 o'clock in the high school library. I understand that the school administrators are still off work, so they're not going to be giving reports. The finance director's been out of the office. But speaking of finances, the state did finally pass an operating budget.
They did, finally signed in on June 30th. So we are moving forward with flat funding, which is same funding levels that we had last year. So... that does actually constitute a reduction when you look at it that way, but we were planning for that, to be honest, and then actually we really passed a budget in June that was actually 2.5% reduction. So that was the decision that the board made in preparation because we did not know. So we'll do a revision in September for that, to adjust for that. And so it was good to finally have an answer. It's frustrating that we keep going this long into June. It really has an impact on staffing. It's difficult.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the school board did pass a budget, as you mentioned, earlier in the month in June. Mm-hmm. So there's actually going to be a little bit more because it was a conservative budget that was passed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was all over the news. There's just no way we just had to guess. And they did a great job, Karen and Erica, putting that together with a 2% cut, just anticipating... you know, the worst, and we got a little bit better news, I guess. At least, it was still a cut with flat funding, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, and it allows us to move forward with the things that we need to do with contractual obligations and that sort of thing as far as salaries and all of those things. So that was all factored in, and then allows us to keep moving forward with some of our capital projects and maintenance. And, you know, we still do know that we really are still... short staff, especially in the high school. Every year we keep hoping that we're going to be able to have better opportunities to plan for that staffing. We just don't want to add people and then it doesn't feel responsible and then turn around and potentially have to let people, go because of the crazy up and down of the budget. So, and I was at meetings last week in Juneau and they're already starting to talk about, the governor's already wanting to call them back and, to try to start working on this plan. I mean, that's been like the governor or not like the governor. That has been his mantra of trying to get an actual plan because once again, it really has kicked this down the road again another year. So, and this is it. I mean, they don't have anywhere else to go. Their constitutional budget reserve is it. So that's going to be significant. I think, it's unfortunate that we're still here having these same conversations. I think it's doesn't feel very, very responsible. But.
When you say short staffed at the high school, does that mean a few extra kids in all the classrooms, or does that
it can mean both things? I mean, it means that. It also means really we have an amazing special ed teacher in the high school who I don't know how she sometimes does the things that she does in the sense of her time and her commitments. She also manages the alternative program, which will be on site this year. It's not going to be off site anymore. So that's our program that does help with credit recovery as well as students who need a different type of program, but it's actually going to be housed in the high school again. So that will allow her some better flexibility rather than running back and forth. And the student population is going to work. It's going to be great. And then it does allow them still to the students in that program to still have access to like the culinary program and, shop classes and that sort of thing without having to travel back and forth. So we're hopeful.
And where was it in the past last year?
It's been the last 3 years, I think, it's been in the Lighthouse Church. So, yeah. And that was the way the program was set up initially with the student population at the time. It was felt by the staff at that point that it was really important to have it be its own kind of separate identity at that point. It's just the way the population is, we're doing almost more credit recovery right now. So it's not necessarily as much of a need right now. I mean, it may be an issue in the future, but for right now, so that it does allow Ms. Fry to have a little more hands in both places in the same building. So that's an area that, yeah. And we always look at things like career technical opportunities. That's always a need. We want to maintain programs that we have and also provide some additional opportunities. So we're always looking at that. But we have an amazingly hardworking staff who just picks up, yep, we need you to teach this. Okay. And they do it. They're incredible.
Just in general, for the start of school, are there any changes that listeners might be interested in knowing? I mean, is the times of the day the same? You know, school's going to start the same time and let out at the same time of day?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things.
Yes, I would say probably the biggest change might be middle school, high school. There was a group of teachers that worked on the scheduling last year. One of the things that they wanted to try to address is, you know, every year it seems like there's more and more things that we have to do with kids during the school day, like different surveys or different things from the state or different, you know, and they're all important, you know, but or even local efforts that come, you know, people want to have, you know, assemblies for things, or people want to provide training for, you know, all kinds of things, all really, really good things. But, you know, every one of those things, even when they're good, can eat away at time and scheduling. So teachers worked on that quite a bit this last spring to try to talk about having more of like an advisory time that they're working on, having an opportunity during the school day by moving some minutes around and kind of looking at the whole day to be able to have that time be set aside for specialized kinds of things, like meeting Aaron's Law, Bree's Law requirements, for example, which was a big conversation last year. That's a state law now. And or doing a survey, youth risk behavior survey. That's another 40 minutes out of somebody's class, you know, that you've got to take that test or take that survey. So having a time that's set aside for those kinds of things rather than trying to, okay, who's going to give up their time this week or who's going to give up their time this week? And it's frustrating for teachers, even when they're supportive of it. It's just another interruption.
You know? Planning ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're excited about that. I think that'll be a nice change. Yeah, this year. But other than that, nothing too major that way, as far as major changes or to the schedule.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about, I know one thing that's going to be covered tonight is the SIP, the Capital Improvement Projects mm-hmm. list, which is kind of the mandated that there's this list. It's mandated by the state. They ask for this list from school districts mm-hmm. So they can kind of, I guess, prioritize and what funding needs to go where.
Yeah.
And so the school district always comes up with a list every year for the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't actually on the list, but there's equipment going up at the grade school, I noticed. Mm-hmm. New equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Looks like swing sets.
Yes. Actually, there were swing sets purchased, I want to say maybe 3 years ago, that we've been storing because it was another one of those things, because of all this crazy budget stuff, that you get to that point in your year where you can't necessarily hire another person, but you think, okay, what do we need? What could happen? And we actually had a playground study done about some of the equipment that needed to go away and some of the equipment that needed to be replaced and some different regulations. And so we actually purchased some, yeah, I think it's been 3 years ago. So needing to revamp that whole thing. And I know Mrs. Toland actually started a conversation with parents and people last year about some different planning on the playground, based on some recommendations from some of the experts, but also just to talk with parents and families about, you know, what kinds of things people might want to see on their playgrounds and how that might look. So yes, there's a lot of things gone now, which is always hard because it's change, you know.
But sometimes it's a good thing.
Exactly. So yeah, we don't want to hear any more about splinters. We've had lots of splinter conversations, okay. Which is true. I mean, the wood Yeah, they were great for their time, but they just needed to go. So
these are bright red, what I saw, yeah. You know, metal. This is on the kindergarten side of, not the other side, mm-hmm. but the kindergarten side of the school.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be some new equipment down there. And then actually this committee that's talking about the play, about the whole kind of playground in general, there could be some more changes coming, actually, because one of the engineer that kind of came to talk to staff and everybody about this said, you know, a lot of playgrounds are trying to work on having areas of play that are really more natural areas too. Like you can kind of have your areas that are have structures, but actually in watching kids on equipment, that's not necessarily where they all go. Like they might play there for a bit, but then we have found actually here at the elementary school and my time over there too, kids will always, they find the stream beds, they make dams, they have rocks, they have a whole structure for their whole community over there. I mean, it's elaborate. Elaborate. And if you mess with it, it's a big deal. Like you cannot mess with their whole system over there. It's fabulous. It's wonderful. So having more of that, actually working on that, I mean, even using natural fencing and, you know, trying to have opportunities for kids to get dirty and play, which our kids like to do. So there could be even more changes coming. So if people are interested in serving on that committee, you could check with Mrs. Toland. Lots of good ideas coming. And some ADA requirements that are also coming. We may end up moving one of the play structures. The one that is on the end by the office may end up moving down to the other end because we have to redo some of the... There's requirements now for... The foam, like you have to have a certain... Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, for kids. If
injury
they,
or
yeah,
fall.
Exactly. For some liability kinds of things. So that could be coming too. But we always want people's thoughts about that. I mean, you know, just ideas for things for areas of play like that, you know. So yeah, kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Mm-hmm. So that's a good example of a project that was on SIP years ago, but that's kind of how it is. And funding comes in later. And
exactly.
So the... items that are listed now, mm-hmm. you know, they if they do get funded, it could be several years down the road when it actually
takes place. Actually, if I'm looking at the list, and I was actually talking with Karen about this today too, and Dan Tate, our maintenance director, but so the top two, the boiler replacements, those have actually already been done. We had to do those. So then you actually are applying for reimbursement.
And, oh, okay.
And that's what really the state started saying a couple years ago. Don't count on it. Like we submit this, it's a huge packet. This CIP process has a book that's like 2.5 inches thick that you have to submit. Yes. So those two have already been done. And that's not strange. Like that is often how you do it. And when they used to actually have money and reimburse for those things, that's what you would do is apply for reimbursement. But we're not really counting on it, to be honest, but they have to be done. And that's kind of where we got with the whole food service process.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm. So it looks like boilers have been replaced in the middle and high school, like mm-hmm. you say. And then next on the list is, food service renovations
mm-hmm.
at all the schools.
Yep. And it used to be on here years ago as one item. And it was very large, like $1 million. You know, it's huge when you start looking at those because there's all the DEC requirements and that sort of thing. But in working with our consultant who helps us write these, and he had recommendations for us about that because there's certain things the state kept saying, nope, it's not going to make. Actually, like 4 years ago, it actually made the list. It was supposed to happen.
Everything crashed.
Yeah, our kitchen renovation project was like number two on the state list. And so it was... happening. Well, then it wasn't happening, you know. So we finally just had to say we have to move forward. I mean, there's actually things that they're saying, you know, that we had to put a vent in over at the elementary school, high school. Every time they come in, there's, you know, we don't have a cafeteria there, so every time they come through and say, you know, you can't have kids eating here, you've got to have a certain amount of water, you know, there's
like, yeah, that's not even where
exactly. Exactly. And then at the state level, they kept saying, well, you know, hold off, you have to be kind of careful, you don't want to piecemeal those things, because then you don't get you sometimes don't get reimbursement the same way, like if you spend, you know, $30,000 on a vent like we did at the elementary school, or you might not get the same kind of reimbursement, which doesn't make sense, because to us, we're thinking, well, we have a capital fund set aside for it. We should start working on it, and then we're going to keep submitting our paperwork and hopefully get some reimbursement. And seemed backwards to us. So anyway, we made the decision a couple years ago. We just have to start moving forward. So that's where kind of the Viking Cafe idea came at the high school. And we're just starting to do the work ourselves, either with our own crew or we've had a few proposals to have some, you know, the sewer work done over there and getting the water plumbed and, you know, rock and roll, some different, you know, local groups, local businesses that are helping with it. And we're just going to keep moving forward because...
So not waiting on state funding, doing specific little projects as they are needed at the top of the list, and then hope for a reimbursement from the state, but not...
Trying to keep it within reason and do things, you know, as economically as we can. We're not, it's not really fancy, you know, it's nothing like that. We're just, we want to have a place to be able to cook. We want to be able to do some fundraising things in a different way in the high school, for example. You know, we're one of the only high schools that doesn't really have a way for people to, you know, buy a burger, you know, at a game or something. I mean, it's a huge ordeal. People have to bring crock pot, you know, and so nobody ever really wants to do fundraising there because it's a pain. It's not set up for it. So, you know, we'd like to have a basic sort of kitchen, you know, groups could use it for different things and, you know, it could be some fundraising opportunities and also just, we need a place for kids to eat. That's an actual cafeteria space. So kids started eating in there last year. It was kind of nice.
All right. Yeah. Anything else that will be talked about tonight? I know we're going to be broadcasting the meeting. I know, Sarah, your seat is coming open this fall. There's two seats on the board which will be vacant and people will be voting on in the October municipal election. You're the president. What's your thoughts? Are you going to run again?
I'm still a little on the fence.
You have how many days left? I think it's August 22nd.
It's coming up. I know that there are the possibility of 2 years or 3 years, and 3 years seems really far away. And I, in some ways, I think, oh, it's someone else's turn to step in and do this for a while, but I guess some of it is if nobody's willing to, then I would, but I would certainly step aside for someone who is interested in being on the board, because I think it's been a really great experience, and you learn a lot, but also you understand some of the decisions that are made that sometimes as a constituent you don't always understand why. And just understanding even the whole budget process and how your hands are tied when you think it should be something that would be so simple to get done. But it's a great board. We have, I think, a good working relationship. Even if we don't agree on everything, it's very respectful. And I do enjoy that part of it, that despite difference opinions, we're all very respectful of each other's opinions. And also just a good working relationship with the administration, both Erica as well as the two principals, has just been for years, but also even just as we've had turnover in the board, it seems to be, you know, that continuation. And I really think that's why it's such a, probably, a, you know, people have in past sometimes maybe accused us of rubber stamping, but I think also it's the fact that there is constant communication that we're not surprised by anything. And so then when you're not surprised by anything, then it's easy to come to, you know, a decision when you're well-informed, so...
Well, and I think people do feel comfortable asking questions,
too. They're not afraid to talk to Erica. They're not afraid to talk to the principals, either Ms. Tolan or Mr. Dormer, and they're not afraid to talk to a board member and give that information back.
Right.
So there's, I think there's a real honest camaraderie in let's get the job done, even in, and then sometimes you don't agree with it, but, you know, or how things are done. But it's in the end, the purpose is for the kids and what's best for the kids. And... So I would encourage anybody who's interested, because it has been a really good experience for me. But I also, you know, it takes five people to run it. And so, you know, someone who feels like they have time, even if it's for 2 or 3 years, it's worth doing. Absolutely worth doing. So.
All right, that's two.
So I better check in and see if anybody else is, because if they have, then that answers my question and yours.
Well, there's another seat, Brandy T. Ness. She came in to fill in for a seat, right? And then her seat will come open again.
And we're hoping she puts her name in, too. I haven't heard. I guess we'll find out tonight.
She's pretty busy. This is her busy time, but I haven't had a chance to talk to her to see what her decision has been. But
she's been a nice addition to the board, too.
If folks want more information, they can probably go to the school district office.
Yep, absolutely.
And then also the borough clerk's office.
Yep, the paperwork's
up at the municipal
downtown
building
with Debbie. But if people want to talk about it or have any questions or wonder about something, Sarah's, of course, a great resource. Mm-hmm. Or if they want to talk to me, too, that's fine. People can email or call.
And it's the only board that you don't have to be a resident for a year. That we're mandated by state law in that respect that you only have to be a resident for 30 days. So someone who's been here for 6 or 8 months that is interested, they are still eligible despite the other committees in town for the borough. You'd have to wait that 12 months. So that's something to keep in mind, too. If you're thinking, oh, shoot, I'm going to miss it by a month or two, they could, as long as they've been a resident for at least 30 days. So,
All right.
That's true.
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And again, KFSK will be broadcasting tonight's school board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Perfect.
So we look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you.
Thanks. And stay with us. Ross Nanick III is here to host Street Beat this afternoon. That's coming up next.